I would ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning to Psalm 5, and we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll read the entirety of the Psalm. We began this series of messages out of this Psalm last Sunday morning, and I mentioned to you at that time that there were eight different main truths which I desired to express from this Psalm, but under each one of those eight main truths was three sub-truths as well. So last week, we considered the first main truth with its three sub-truths, so that is the 3 points of the message last week under that main truth. Here this morning, at the very least, we'll be moving on to the second main truth and its three sub-truths as well. Psalm 5, beginning where the Word of God begins here, follow along as I read, to the chief musician upon Nehelath, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Amen. The title of the message, or the title of the series of messages, In the Time of Prayer. In the Time of Prayer. Or if we were to take a subtitle, I would take it directly out of the passage, and it would be at the end of verse 2, Unto thee will I pray. In the time of prayer. Let's have a word of prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that as we proceed with the message and we consider yet further truth from this psalm, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to the wondrous things that you have for us herein. Lord, I pray that you would guide the message, that you would guide the communication of the message, that you would guide our reception of the message, that you would guide our response to the message as well. And then, Lord, our hearts continue to be burdened and broken on behalf of Shelley and the two girls, Savannah and Caitlin, I believe are the names, with the loss of daughter and Shelley's relationship, the loss of mother and the case of the girls. And the weight of emotional burden that this will be and is being, I'm sure, at the very moment upon them. We pray, Lord, for your grace and your mercy to give them relief, to give them comfort, to give them peace. And Lord, we do pray that all three of them, and yea, others that are in the family that would be heavily impacted by this accident and death, that you would help them all to look to you for the help and the hope and the comfort and the peace that they need at this time. Lord, I pray that you would help us to express what love and help and encouragement and comfort we can. Lord, we recognize that the depth of the need is only something that you can meet. So Lord, help us to be helps. But Lord, we pray that you would be the help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good
David is coming to the Lord here, and we recognize the importance of prayer in the Christian life. David, here in the Old Testament, a believer of the Old Testament, understood the importance of prayer as well. And all throughout the Psalms we have, you know, many times we come to the Psalms and we think of this book as the songbook of Israel, and we're not far off from that. No doubt, much of what is communicated in the book of the Psalms, by its very name, would have been delivered to the song leaders of Israel and put to music and sung and so forth. But much of what we find in the Psalms is not simply praise to God. Much of it is, but much of it is not. There's a whole portion of the Psalms that is prayer to God. Prayer during the time of burden, prayer during the time of confusion, prayer during the time of discouragement, prayer during a time of persecution. That, by the way, is the specific need of David as he writes this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's a time of persecution or attack from his enemies. We know that because in Psalm 5 and in verse number 4, he says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." Now, continue on, because you say, all right, there he's just talking about the wicked and God's view of the wicked. What does it have to do with David and a problem that he has? We'll continue to verse number 8. He says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there's no faithfulness in their mouth," the mouth of his enemies. "Their inward part is very wickedness." So the very wicked ones he was talking about earlier in the psalm are the very ones he's focused on who are his enemies, who are speaking deceptively, who are speaking lies against him and reproach and mockery and attack against him in a wicked way. David continues in verse 9, "Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee." They were not just in an attack. They were wicked. In their wickedness, they were attacking God's chosen man, and in so doing, they were demonstrating their rebellion against God. Those were the persecutors against David when he writes this psalm. And as he writes the psalm, he is reporting and recording his prayer unto the Lord. He turns to the Lord in this time, and that's what is recorded in this psalm. How important is praying to the Christian life today? We know the command of the New Testament, pray without ceasing. We know the instruction of the New Testament, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We know the parable that Jesus told, where it says, though I won't communicate the entire parable, at the beginning of it, that he told this parable, the men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is a significant, you might even say hugely significant part of the Christian life. And that's not an exaggeration, though in lately we hear words like huge and always and things like that used somewhat exaggeratively, but this is not. It's a hugely significant part of the Christian life. Amen? So in the time of prayer, when we come to praying, and we're to be praying every day, we're to be praying ceaselessly throughout the day, we're to be praying in everything, we're to be always praying and not fainting in prayer, not quitting from prayer. In the time of prayer, what should be our focus? What should be a part of that in our attitude, in our direction, in our outlook? First of all, I'd present to you, as we did last week, our dependence in the time of prayer. Our dependence in the time of prayer. We considered that last week, and we considered the three aspects of that. This is found in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 5. Our dependence in the time of prayer. Who is our dependence on? It's on the Lord our God. Amen. Specifically in these three verses, He's listed as my King and my God. Last week we took note that our dependence must be upon the Lord and specifically upon Him as our King, that is the one who has all authority over us, and as our God, the one who has all power to help us. Amen? All authority to direct our lives. He is the one to decide the direction of our lives. And when we come to Him, we do not get to tell Him what to do. We get to ask Him what we would like and then submit to His will in what He chooses to do. That's because He is our King and He has all authority. But we can trust that any problem that we have, we can bring to Him because He is able to meet every problem. Amen? Because He is almighty, all-powerful. He is God. And the true definition of the word God is the Almighty One. The Almighty One, when applied to God, the Almighty. He is King, all-sovereign. He is God, almighty. That's the one upon whom we place our dependence when we go to God in prayer, and when we go to Him in prayer every day, when we go to Him in prayer about everything, we're depending on Him who has all authority and all power. When should we go to God in prayer? We considered that as well last week. And here in Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3, David says at the end of verse 2, "For unto thee will I pray," and then verse 3, "my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." What do we find in this? Well, he started his day coming to the Lord in prayer. Amen? He didn't wait until he was 3/4 of the day in and all the problems had built up to be such a heavy burden, he couldn't possibly move that burden or bear that burden. And finally, he decided, well, it's big enough now, I probably should go to God in prayer. He didn't wait until he was halfway through the day or a third of the way into the day and say, well, problems are starting to build up and I'm sure there's more yet to come and I need wisdom on what to do. And though I've tried to solve some of this myself, I'm finding that the hole is getting a little bigger. It's time maybe to ask God for help and for direction and for wisdom and for guidance. No, David said, I will start my day with God. Amen. And that idea is not just that he had a quick time of prayer in the morning and then forgot about God through the rest of the day. Not at all. Rather, the idea here is that he began his day with God and continued in prayer to God all day long. He didn't wait 3/4 to start praying. He didn't wait 1/2 to start praying. He didn't wait 1/4 of the day to start praying. He didn't wait a few hours into the day to start praying. In the morning, at the beginning of his day, he began to pray and he continued in prayer. By the way, you might ask, well, how do you know he continued in prayer? Well, one answer could be because David was a man of God. But another answer right in the Psalm is this in verse 1. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Okay, those could have been the words that he used for that 15 minutes or 30 minutes or hour at the beginning of the day. And then that was the end of it. Except he says, "Consider my meditation." Meditation is something by definition that goes on and on, that continues. It's in your thoughts on a continual measure. He didn't just express himself by words in the morning and then that was it. But he continued to meditate in prayer unto God. Everything that came up in life, he continued in his heart to bring it to God. He might not have been able to fall to his knees and engage God in prayer that way every single moment. By the way, if you're praying while you're driving, don't fall to your knees to do it. Amen? Don't close your eyes either. I know normally we say, close your eyes, bow your head, we're going to take a time of prayer. But if you're praying while you're driving, don't close your eyes. Amen. That's good counsel. Now, there are times we probably should, according to the Word of God, go off privately into a private place. Amen. The Bible calls it a closet, but a private place where we can pray before God, humbly go down before Him on our face in humility. We can bow before Him, we close our eyes, and we express our burden to Him in a private way. But that's not the entirety of our prayer life. Our prayer life should be every moment there is that heart meditation that says, God, I need help on this. God, can you give me wisdom about this? God, I'm not sure how to handle this matter or that matter. And all throughout the day, we continually bringing things before the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 makes reference to this, though it doesn't use specifically prayer language, but it makes reference to this when it says that we're to acknowledge Him in everything. What does that mean? It means everything we do in life, everything we encounter in life, God should be acknowledged. He should be brought forward to our mind. And we think, what is His purpose? What is His will? What should I praise Him for? What should I pray from Him for? What wisdom do I need from Him? What direction do I need? What empowerment do I need from Him? And so, when should we pray? In the morning, or that is at the start of our day, and then throughout the remainder of the day. And how should we pray? How should we pray? Our dependence is on God, who He is, our King, our God, all authority, all power. When should we put our dependence on God through prayer, starting at the beginning of the day and throughout the entirety of the day? How should we place our dependence on Him with fullness of faith? The passage of Scripture at the end of verse 3, David says, "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." And because he was directing his prayer unto God, he says, "And look up." And look up. David was not going to go through the day under depression and discouragement. He didn't need to do that because he was casting his care on the Lord. He was acknowledging and trusting that the Lord cared for him and cared about every problem and every issue and every matter and every concern and every burden that David had. And so he turned it over to the Lord. And because he turned it over to the Lord, he didn't have to walk through life, through his daily living, his daily walk, with his head down and his shoulders stooped. No, he could walk through life looking up. Looking up to God because God is on high, but looking up to God because he trusted God would be there with him to help him through the issues of life. Amen? And so he did so in fullness of faith. Not looking down in discouragement, but looking up in hope and faith in God. But that brings us then to our second truth. And that's the one upon which we'll focus the remainder of our message this morning. We have our dependence, but we also need to consider our diligence in the time of prayer. Our diligence in the time of prayer. These we find in verses 1 and 2. And here we have three things as well. Our diligence in the time of prayer. First of all, we have our communication to God. Notice in verse number 1, David says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Prayer is a time where we meet with God and communicate with Him. Amen? Sometimes, how many of you, maybe you don't want to raise your hand on this. This may be one of those things where some could raise their hand, others don't feel comfortable, and then they may feel embarrassed. So just think about this question for a moment. But how many of you have a very close friend, somebody with whom you feel completely comfortable to unburden your heart and open your heart and express the burdens and the concerns and even the distresses of your heart? You can just lay them out in front of this individual, and you know this individual is a close enough friend that this individual might say to you, "Well, you need to maybe get your attitude fixed on that," or you might need to be directed to the Lord better on that. But this friend is open enough and trustworthy enough to receive that openness of your heart without completely running you over or using it as a weapon against you sometime later. Amen? It's good to have a friend like that. And you may or may not have a human friend of that nature, but I'm here to tell you the Lord your God can be that kind of friend. Amen? Sometimes we might think, how many of you have ever, and maybe again, this is one you don't want to, you may not want to lift your hand to directly express, but how many of you in your heart think about this, have ever gone to God in prayer and expressed frustration with God to God? You've ever gone to God and said, Lord, I'm kind of frustrated with you right now. I mean, you know, doctrinally speaking, to be upset with God or frustrated with God is not right. But you feel comfortable enough at least going to Him and saying, look, this is where I'm at. This is just where I'm at right now. Now, I'm here to tell you, when you do that, your attitude's not right, and the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of that sin, of having a bad attitude. But God is big enough for you to be able to express exactly where you are. By the way, if you don't express it, do you think maybe He doesn't know? You know, like with my friend. Let's suppose I take up, probably my best friend in the world, my wife, and there's some frustrations I have and some burdens I have or whatnot, and I just don't feel 100% comfortable communicating with my wife, and so I decide to keep them somewhat hidden. And do you think that over the years of marriage, our 27 years of marriage, that there are some things that I have been able to keep hidden from my wife? I mean, some attitudes maybe or frustrations at times that I just didn't express, and thus she never knew about them. I think probably she can't 100% know everything that's going on in my heart or in my mind. But and the reason she doesn't know is because I just chose not to communicate them. She doesn't have perfect knowledge, perfect awareness. But God does. So it's not like when you're frustrated with God, you can somehow hide that information from Him. The best thing you could do is go before Lord and just say, Lord, this is where I'm at. I'm frustrated about this. I'm having a struggle in these matters. Did you know that as you read through the Psalms, many a psalmist went to God in prayer just that way? Have you ever read through the book of the Psalms? How many of you have ever read through the book of Psalms? You can raise your hand on this one. How many have found in the book of the Psalms a number of the psalmists expressing frustration with God? To Him about matters of life. Why aren't you stepping up? Why aren't you moving faster? Why aren't you helping? Now you'll find that in those psalms, often before the psalm ends, the psalmist acknowledges his sinful attitude and confesses it as such. But do you realize the Holy Spirit of God inspired those psalmists to record that they were frustrated with God and that they were expressing it, and the Holy Spirit inspired them to include that in the passage? Not because it was right, because the Holy Spirit also inspired them to include the need for confession and acknowledgement that it was sinful. But yet, to express, that's really where they were. That's where they were in their attitude, in their spirit, in their frustrations, in the difficulties they were facing. Why? Because prayer is communication with God. It's communicating with God like a friend. Now, we can never forget that He is King. Amen? He's not a friend beneath me. He's not even a friend that is my equal. He is a friend that is over me. He's still a friend, but He's a friend that is over me. And that must never be forgotten. On the other hand, He, the Lord God of heaven and earth, the all-sovereign, Almighty, does desire to be our friend. So David here is understanding that. He's saying, my King, my God, but in his behavior toward God, he's also saying, my friend. I will express my words. I will express my communication. Lord, I will express myself to you. I will communicate with you the difficulties and the frustrations and the burdens and the problems that I'm facing, and I'll lay them out in front of my God. This is part of our diligence, actually going to God and actually expressing ourselves to Him, actually communicating with God. But number two, there's not only the communication, there's also the persistence. I've already mentioned this or referenced this in the earlier introductory portion concerning the previous point that I was presenting in review, our dependence, when I said that he began in the morning but continued throughout all day. And the question then was raised, well, how do you know it was throughout the whole day? How do you know it wasn't just in the morning and then that was the end of it? And the answer is given because of his persistence expressed through the phrase, my meditation. In verse number one, give ear to my words, that's his communication. O Lord, consider my meditation. My meditation. Meditation, well, maybe not the most beautiful picture for it, but the Hebrew term for meditation has a picture behind it. It's the idea of chewing the cud, as a cow chews the cud. Now, if you're familiar biologically with the process for a cow, how many know cows have four stomachs? A few of you. How many know that the reason they have four stomachs is because they chew their food a little bit and swallow it, it goes into one stomach and it begins the process of digestion. And I know this may sound gross to us because we only have one stomach and it doesn't work like that for us. But after a period of time, that food comes up from that stomach and they chew on it some more and then it goes in process to the next stomach. And then there's a process through all four stomachs and the chewing of the cud is part of the process of that digestion. It's why you see cows in the field and their jaws seem to be constantly moving. Right? That may not even be food. You might think, man, do those, how could there be any grass in that field at all? The cows are constantly chewing on it. Actually, a lot of what they're chewing on is stuff that they may have taken up this morning. But see, there's the picture I want you to understand in this matter of prayer. You may pray to God in the morning, which is the right place to start. Amen. But throughout the rest of the day, you need to keep bringing those problems forward and laying them before God again and again and again. Most of our problems don't just go away in the morning after we pray. All right? How many of you with arthritis? You prayed about it in the morning and you never had any problem again for the rest of the day. Amen? And some of you are saying, wow, that would be nice, but that's not the way it works. How many of you with other problems of life that you take before God and then they just poof, disappear? Now, are there times ever that we take a problem to God in prayer and within a short bit of time, He solves it and we don't need to bring it back because it's done? At that moment, we can just say, thank you, Lord, for solving that problem. Amen? But there is plenty of problems in life that we bring to God and we must keep bringing to God because the problem doesn't just disappear. It's an ongoing matter of life. We prayed much throughout a year for Beth's leukemia and we praise the Lord for the fact that she is in remission. But has that resolved all of the problems that are related to it? No, now we're praying for Mr. Kidney and for Mr. Liver, because those two apparently had a bad reaction to the treatments that she received for the leukemia. And we're trying to convince them to respond better. Amen? But that's a daily battle. And thus it's a continuing prayer need. Amen? While Dad was suffering through the kidney stone, it wasn't just a one-time prayer and poof, kidney stone gone. Wouldn't he have loved that? But that's not how it works. Here this very morning, we're praying on behalf of one of our own, comfort because of a significant traumatic event with the car accident and the death. So we've prayed and God's going to step in and give her comfort. And she'll have no need after that ever again for comfort on the matter. Oh no. No, this emotional burden is going to keep being there, and she's going to continue to need to bring it before God, and we to bring it before God for her sake. Amen? Do we understand this? That's why he doesn't just say my words, or that is, I communicate it, and now that it's communicated, I can walk away. He says my meditation. It's something where I need to just keep laying it before God, keep bringing it before Him. I'm not talking about the idea that sometimes we say, well, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, I cast it on the Lord, and then as a preacher might say, then I picked it back, you know, I went to the front, I bowed before the Lord, and I prayed, and I cast my care on the Lord, and then when I got up from the front, done with prayer, I pick the care back up and put it back on my shoulders. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that most of our cares are cares that are ongoing, long-term. I can cast it on the Lord, but when I get up, it's still in front of me. And because it's still in front of me and I've got to deal with it again tomorrow on Monday and again on Tuesday and again on Wednesday, then I keep bringing it to the Lord in prayer because it's still there. Or it repeats itself. Some of you might be thinking about a difficult worker. Well, every day you go into work, you got to deal with it again. So do you just pray about it one time at the beginning of the year? And yeah, Beth's difficult worker's Tim. Every morning she gets up, he's there. But the truth is that do you pray at the beginning of the year and then just act like, well, I cast that care on the Lord. I don't have to deal with that problem anymore. No, you're going to keep dealing with the problem over and over and over again. You've got to keep coming to the Lord. That's not just the communication. That's the meditation. Always our heart needs to be focused in prayer on the Lord. There is a persistence. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ communicate to us that we ought always to pray and not to faint? And then the parable went on, not talking about always praying about all the different matters of life, but always praying about the matters of life, like an individual one, until God comes through. And he told the parable of the importunate, the persistent widow. So we have our communication and we have our persistence. This is part of our diligence in prayer. Prayer is not a short time thing. Prayer is an all day thing. Amen? Prayer is not a 15 minute thing. Prayer is a without ceasing thing. Prayer is not just a prayerless thing. Prayer is in everything thing. But our diligence also is expressed in its intensity. We have the communication, my words. We have the persistence, my meditation. We have the intensity of prayer. And notice David expresses that in verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. My cry. My King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. First, he said, my words. That's communication. Then he says, my meditation. That's the ongoing persistence and continuance of his prayer life, of his prayer relationship with God. But then he says, my cry. There are different ways to consider the word my cry. One way to consider a cry is a loud sound. Amen? A loud sound, an intense volume. My cry, my shout, my complete expression to God. Lord, help me! I'm going to guess that with whatever lung capacity he had, and I understand it might have been difficult if he had swallowed any water, but I'm going to guess that as Peter, walking on the water, felt comfortable, but the moment he began to go down, by the way, have you ever considered how fast he would go down? How fast did it take his brain to catch up to the fact that he wasn't walking but sinking? Did he go down slowly like quicksand? I would guess not. In fact, actually, he might not have registered he had gone down until his head was under the first time and he bobbed back up. How loud do you think he yelled, "Help me"? I would guess it was as loud as he could fill his lungs with air. That really depends on how much water he swallowed. But when you're trying to get somebody's attention like that to get help, you're doing your best to get the largest volume out to make sure that their attention is caught, right? So David went down, bloop, and he came back up, grabbed as much air as he could and yelled, "Lord, help me!" Would you call that a cry? Would you say that he was intense? Or do you think he came up and said, "Well, Lord, if you have a moment to consider it, would you maybe take notice that I need your help here?" No. No. He just cried out, "Lord, help me." But there's another way to consider the cry, isn't there? Because sometimes we don't cry out with volume. Sometimes we cry with sobs. Sometimes our cry is not a shout. Sometimes our cry is a weeping. And we come before the Lord and we just say, "Lord, I need your help. I don't know what else to do. I'm completely overcome." Sometimes it's just a moan. Sometimes it's just a cry. But you know, there's just as much intensity in that moment as there is in the shout. The cry of volume is intense. The cry of weeping and mourning is also intense. Emotionally intense either way. But that's what David did. David brought his prayer before God, and we have not only his dependence on God, but we have his diligence in that prayer. And that diligence is expressed in his communication to God, that he was willing to put in words and actually directly express in words the concerns and the frustrations and the burdens and the difficulties and the problems and the needs of his life. His diligence continued on with meditation, where he continued to bring it up all throughout the day. "Lord, I still need you, Lord. I continually need you, Lord. Here's still this problem, Lord. I need you here at my side." His diligence was expressed in his cry. In his cry, "Lord, help me!" In his cry, "Lord, Lord, I need your help. I don't know what else to do. I'm so overcome." But thus was his diligence in prayer. And brethren, when we come to a time of prayer, which should be without ceasing, in everything, always, throughout our day, when we come to a time of prayer, there needs to be a complete dependence on God. Amen? We need to come to Him as our King, the all-sovereign, all-authority, and our God, the Almighty, who can solve any problem. We need to come to Him starting in the morning or at the beginning of our day and continue from that time forward throughout the whole day. We need to come to Him looking up with full assurance of faith that God does care and that God will pour out His grace and mercy in our time of need to help us in truly the best way. But we also need to have a diligence in our prayer. A diligence to actually communicate with God. A diligence to persist in our prayer life with God. A diligence to intensely open our emotion to God. Our diligence. Lord willing, next week we'll be picking up our confidence. That might sound similar to our dependence, but here we're not talking now about the fact that we depend on God, but that we have a confidence in the nature of our God, the character of our God, and the type of God that He is. We'll take note of that hear from Psalm 5, Lord willing, next week. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would continue to help us through this particular study to grow in our prayer lives, not to shrink, not to draw back, not to draw in, but rather, Lord, to expand and to extend and to grow in our prayer lives with You. That we would demonstrate our full dependence on You through prayer, and that we would demonstrate it with a complete daily, weekly, yearly, lifetime diligence, with our heart all in as we meet with You in prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.